Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Every week we do our series, Christ in the Old Testament. Now, Pentecost Sunday is coming, and Pentecost Sunday does focus on the sending of the Holy Spirit, in particular what Peter will call the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be finding that in the Old Testament as Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer joins us on this Thursday afternoon. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
The title of the series is Christ in the Old Testament, so are we taking a break from that to find the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament?
I'm sorry. That's great. This is now the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. This is a new series, and you weren't aware of it. But here's the issue, that the pouring out of the Holy Spirit is directly tied to the person and work of Christ, that Christ is the one who will pour out the Holy Spirit, and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit will be tied to the conversion of the Gentiles. It will be tied to bringing light where there is darkness, bringing life where there is death. And so when we look at the day of Pentecost, we understand that this is the promise of Jesus, that he will send the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit will glorify Jesus. Now, usually the Holy Spirit takes kind of a backseat role, kind of the back burner, because what he's doing is the Holy Spirit is constantly pushing forward Christ before our eyes so that we would set our eyes upon Jesus. But what we want to do is make a direct connection between the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and the pouring out of the blood of Jesus, so that we understand that the person and work of Christ and the person and work of the Holy Spirit work in tandem together. When we talk about this language, the image of pouring out, this verb, this action word, this is the language that we use for fluids. For liquids, for flowing. But we want to understand that this is the gift-giving. This is abundance. This is a continuous, perpetual flowing and outpouring of not only the Holy Spirit, but of Jesus himself. So it's the giving of the Father gives the Son. The Father and the Son give the Holy Spirit continually to us. And we'll see this connection specifically in Acts chapter 2, where when Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father, and Jesus then, in according to his human nature, he then pours out the Holy Spirit upon them in fulfillment of what Joel had predicted back in chapter 2 of his book. And we have in Joel that it's Yahweh himself who will pour out the Holy Spirit, and now we have clearly a teaching that Jesus is truly God, he's the one pouring out the Holy Spirit, and also he's truly man. It happens in the ascension that now he pours out the Holy Spirit. Well, that event that took place there on Pentecost is tied to the event that takes place on Maundy Thursday, in which Jesus says, like in Matthew 28, that this is the blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. That we understand this pouring out of the blood tied to the pouring out of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that it continues to this day. It wasn't a one-time event on Maundy Thursday. Instead, the Lord continues to pour out his blood from the altar in Holy Communion. When we receive the sacrament of the altar, the very blood of Christ that's poured out and into our mouths, that we receive the sanctifying blood. And likewise, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit wasn't a one-time event on the day of Pentecost, but it's an event that's promised that takes place in our own baptism. So Paul will use the same language in Titus chapter 3, saying that we have been saved by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So when we talk about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we're always connecting this to the person and work of Christ. The Holy Spirit is sent so that the Holy Spirit would glorify Jesus, that he would open eyes to see Jesus, open ears to hear the voice of Jesus, and of course, open hearts to trust in the promises that are all fulfilled in Jesus.
With that said, there is actually a precedent for the Holy Spirit being poured out, and it's found there in, if I'm not mistaken, Numbers 11 with the prophet Moses.
Well, and what we want to see here is, again, when we look at an office of prophet, we are looking at a depiction of the incarnation, that God himself will come and take upon flesh and blood, that God will be incarnate and he will assume this role of prophet. He will speak the word of God clearly, precisely, correctly. And that word that's proclaimed is always the vehicle through which the Holy Spirit is given. So in Numbers chapter 11, when you have the depiction of Moses being the prophet that God sends to the people, that they would hear his word, that they would receive the Spirit, that the Spirit would dwell in their midst, you have this passage here where the Spirit that rests upon Moses, the Spirit of Yahweh, is now taken and distributed from the man Moses and put on 70 elders. So in this, we see a depiction of the person and work of Christ, that here is a man, Moses, and from this man, the Spirit that's upon him, it will be given to others. And we'll have the same language of giving of the Holy Spirit here as we do in Ezekiel chapter 36, where Yahweh declares, I will put my Spirit within you. This is this verb to give. Now, when we look at Jesus, the man, okay, according to his human nature, all of these depictions of prophets and, of course, kings in the Old Testament are teaching us the mystery of the incarnation. And we'll see this most clearly in Psalm 45, in which Psalm 45 is this coronation. We were talking about ascension last week. And so here he is now upon the throne. And so you have the human nature. According to his human nature now, he is anointed by God the Father, and he is going to be the one who pours out the Holy Spirit upon humanity, because he is restoring the human nature, uniting the divine nature and the human nature in the one person of the Christ. And in Psalm 45, you have the person of the Father speaking to the person of the Son, saying to the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness, and you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with oil, this oil of gladness beyond your companions. So whenever we see somebody like a prophet or a king or a priest being anointed, this is depicting to us this anointing of Jesus with the Holy Spirit at the baptism in the Jordan River, when the Holy Spirit descends in the form of the dove. But notice how in Psalm 45, this psalm about the Messiah, that he is going to be anointed with the oil of gladness beyond all of his companions. So nobody comes close in a comparison. So whatever Moses had, Jesus has more. That whatever Moses was, Jesus is the reality. And this oil of gladness is the Holy Spirit being poured out upon Jesus, and therefore, because he has the Holy Spirit without measure, he is able to give it without measure. And we'll see this in John chapter 3, when Jesus is speaking about the Father sending him, and you have this comment in John 3 that he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. So beyond his companions, he has been given the Spirit without measure according to his human nature, and now he is enabled to give the Spirit without measure to humanity. So this is that restoration of the fallen, corrupted human nature, that now you have one who is the Son who sits on the throne, and he pours out the Holy Spirit upon humanity.
You also say that we can explore some of the different Hebrew words in the Old Testament for pouring. How would you go about that? How would you begin?
Well, and this is one of the deficiencies that we have in the English translations. We use the same word for a multitude of, let's say, Hebrew words or Greek words, and then we assume it's all just the same. But there is minute changes. There's differences because there's actually different words that are being used. And so we want to note how these words are being used in the Old Testament and how this teaches us about Christ and how it teaches us about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. That whole language, again, of pouring is the language of fluids. It's the language of blood. It's the language of water. It's the language of oil. It's this language of that which is poured out abundantly and continuously and perpetually, that it continues to flow. And so when we look at these different words, we want to see the placement in the Old Testament of how these words are used. And the first one that we want to look at takes us back to Psalm 45. And this word here in the Hebrew is yatsak. And this is to pour, it's to cast out, it is to flow. And you will typically see this used in the Old Testament for the pouring out of oil in anointing. Now, in Psalm 45, when we're talking about the Messiah, he is the anointed one, and he is the one upon which the oil of gladness is poured upon. And throughout the Old Testament, you'll have this with Aaron and his sons, that they are anointed with this oil, like in Exodus chapter 29, that on the head and the turban, you have the crown for Aaron and Aaron as the high priest, and then Moses is instructed to take the anointing oil and to pour it upon his head so that he becomes anointed. That is a Christ, a Messiah, a Mashiach. And now you have a depiction here of the high priest who has the oil of anointing that is poured upon him. Now remember, Jesus is going to have the oil of gladness beyond all of his companions. So whatever the high priest had, Jesus has more. And you'll also use this this same Hebrew word here for pouring out, and we just typically translate it as pouring out, but again, it's a unique word, yatsak, and you'll see this in Leviticus chapter 8, where again, you're talking about pouring the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointing him to consecrate him, to set him apart, distinct from the rest of the tribes and the people of Israel. But in Leviticus 8, not only do you have this same Hebrew word using for the pouring out of the anointing oil, you also have this word used for the pouring out of the blood upon the altar. So again, understand this imagery, that it's flowing, that it's being poured out, a fluid, a liquid, this oil, and then also, of course, blood. Now, going back to Psalm 45, this is where we have the Messiah, the one who is upon the throne, the anointed one. And in Psalm 45, when the Father is speaking to the Son, the Father says to the Son, "You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions." And also previously in verse 2, he said, "You are the most handsome of the sons of men, and grace is poured upon your lips." So this is our word. The word here is that God's grace is now poured upon the lips of the Messiah, so that when he speaks the words of grace. And this is how God's kingdom comes. God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom that comes through hearing the word of God, that word of Christ, the word of grace, that in Christ we now have favor with the Father. And because he's the anointed one, because he has the oil of gladness beyond his companions, he can give this in his speaking. His lips have grace poured upon them, and therefore when he speaks, he pours out upon us the Holy Spirit. And you'll have this terminology picked up in Isaiah 61, in which we are told that when the Messiah comes in his kingdom, and Zion, the place where he is present with his people, what he's going to do is instead of ashes, he's going to give the oil of gladness instead of mourning. I should say instead of ashes, he gives a beautiful headdress, but instead of the mourning, the sadness and the sorrow and grief, he's going to give the oil of gladness. So he's the one who has the oil of gladness beyond measure so that he can continually, abundantly, perpetually pour out this oil of gladness upon us. Now, that's the language that you'll pick up in the New Testament about being baptized, that when we are baptized, we have been anointed with the Holy Spirit. And John will use this language in his first epistle when he says to those who are baptized, you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. And the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, who is going to guide us into all truth. He's the one that's going to continue to put forth Jesus, who is the truth, before our eyes. Now, of course, as we talk John was dealing with the Gnostics were always talking about a hidden truth, a hidden knowledge. And what John is trying to clarify is you don't need something secret, something hidden. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does one thing clearly, and that's he speaks Jesus. So you don't need to hear a different truth, a different reality. You have the reality in Jesus. Well, this language of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, of being anointed, will then be the language that Isaiah will pick up in chapter 44, when he's using the image of a new creation. And he's using the same Hebrew word for pouring out, just like you would have the pouring out of the oil for anointing, and you have the pouring out of blood upon the altar. What will happen in Isaiah 44 is the same Hebrew word, yatsak, is used to say, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground, and I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing upon your descendants, and they shall spring up, they shall sprout up. This is the language of recreation. This, of course, is the language of the Messiah, who will sprout up as a branch, and he will branch out. And this, of course, will point to the conversion of the Gentiles. Because here in this passage, when you're talking about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the land, the thirsty land, this is across the earth. And the land is thirsty, and without water, there's death. But with water, there is life. And you have the image of this thirst, this image of drinking, the image of the water, the image of the Holy Spirit that, of course, satisfies the soul. And this will be the language that will be picked up in the New Testament, when Jesus is talking about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 7, when he says on that great day of the feast, he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. See, Jesus is going to be the source, the fountainhead of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And so if you're thirsty, you come to Jesus, because he will give, he will pour out the Holy Spirit into the heart, and it will flow rivers of living water. And, of course, John will say he's referring to the Holy Spirit, whom had not been given yet, who was not there yet until that day of Pentecost. Well, this is the language of this living water and this thirst, and that he alone can quench it and sustain life both physically and spiritually. Well, later on, Paul, in his letter to the baptized in Corinth, his first letter, chapter 12, when he's talking about being baptized, that we all have one spirit when we were all baptized into the one body of Christ, whether we are Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, because we were all made to drink of the one spirit. Well, where do you get the drink of the one spirit? Well, from Jesus. Jesus says, if you're thirsty, you come to me, and I will give you living water.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament. We're talking about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament on this Thursday afternoon, May the 12th, when we come back. Another word for pouring out from Isaiah 53 and elsewhere in the Old Testament. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
You can support the boys' basketball program at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, by entering a team into our annual Golf Scramble fundraiser. It's Saturday, May 28th at Oakbrook Golf Course in Edwardsville. Hi, this is Anthony Smith, head boys' basketball coach at Metro East Lutheran High School. Join me and fellow Knights for a Golf Scramble, May 28th at Oakbrook Golf Course. For more information, send me an email, anthony.smith@melhs.org. Thanks for your support.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It is more important to know what the Reformation retained than what it overthrew.
Dr. Larry Rast talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Charles Porterfield Croft made that statement back in the 1800s, but it remains true for us today. The church's job is to confess faithfully, and simply to overthrow error does not establish truth. What we are about is confessing biblical truth, and what this conference promises to do is to help us recover that for an age that desperately needs to hear that truth.
You can meet and hear Dr. Larry Rast making the case for the conservative Reformation June 10th and 11th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament. Since Pentecost Sunday approaches, we're talking about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. You have a couple more words, the first one found in Isaiah 53 and elsewhere for pouring out. What did you discover there?
Well, here's the thing. In Isaiah 44, you had, I will pour out my spirit. That's one Hebrew word. Now, we have a different Hebrew word in Isaiah 53. And this Hebrew word is ara. Now, ara, again, is pour out, but it's more precisely that it's this emptying out. It's this spreading out. It's this uncovering. It's this revealing and sometimes even laying bare. And so in Isaiah 53, when you have the suffering servant, he is going to pour out his soul, his nephesh, his being, his essence, who he is. He will pour it out into or unto death. And because he was there crucified, numbered with the transgressors, and on the cross he bore the sin of many, and he makes intercession for the transgressors. So here in Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, the Messiah, the Christ, is pouring out his own soul to death. And by this crucifixion, this is where we gain peace with God. So upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Well, that language of peace will be picked up throughout Isaiah, but you'll have the image that's used of the peace like a river, that this peace will flow, that it will begin at one place and it will just gush forward. You'll see this in Isaiah 40:48, that your peace would be like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. or in Isaiah 66, that behold, I will extend peace like a river, and the glory of the nations will be like an overflowing stream. So we're talking about the Jesus pouring out his soul unto death, and then what will happen is the peace that he accomplishes on the cross will be poured out to the nations. This is, again, that conversion of the Gentiles, that the apostles will be sent into all the earth. Well, that's what will happen in Isaiah 52, that previous chapter, in which the apostles are the ones who are sent out, and how beautiful upon the mountains are their feet, those who bring the good news, those who publish peace. Well, this is what's taking place on the day of Pentecost, that Jesus tells them to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon them, and then the rivers will flow. The peace will go out from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. That this is the spreading out of the Word of God, the emptying out. Well, in Isaiah 32, previously, this is where we were told that the Spirit would be poured out on high. And that, again, is this language, this Hebrew word, arah, that it's going to be emptied out. He will be revealed. And then the wilderness will become fruitful. It'll be a fruitful field. And the fruitful field will become a forest. You have this growth, this life, this kind of this language of the new creation. Before you had a desolate wasteland, and now you're having paradise restored. And the effects of the righteousness that will be sent out in the pouring out of the Holy Spirit will, of course, be peace. This is the result of the righteousness that Christ comes to bring. And we know from Romans 5 that we have been justified by faith, and because we are justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we talk about the Spirit being poured out, we talk about the effect of the righteousness being peace with God. Well, Isaiah 32 is all centered in the whole language of a king reigning in righteousness and princes ruling in justice. So this is what happens at the ascension, that Christ now is king, he's bringing his kingdom, he is reigning in righteousness, and now justice will go forth to the ends of the earth as his princes, as his apostles are sent out.
We'll take another quick break. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We're doing our series, Christ in the Old Testament, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. There's one more word for pour out that will span through Exodus and Deuteronomy and the Psalms and Ezekiel and Zechariah and Joel as well when we come back. Since Pentecost approach, we're looking at the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Stay tuned.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. There's one more term for pouring out here that really spans the Old Testament, doesn't it?
It does, and this word is shafak, and this is the word that will be used in Joel chapter 2, the passage that we're the most familiar with, this prediction, this statement, and this promise that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. This is the restoration of all humanity, and this is what the Christ has come to do in his incarnation. So this is the one that we are most clearly familiar with. But we want to look at a little bit of a background, because this is going to be the word that is once again used for pouring out blood. Now, we've seen this before, but this will be the pouring out of blood, and in particular in Exodus chapter 4, when Moses is doing one of his miracles, he is to pour out this water from the Nile onto the dry ground, and it will become blood. So once again, the pouring out of fluid, blood, and water here. And later on in Exodus chapter 29, you'll have the pouring out of blood on the base of the altar. So yet again, this understanding of blood being poured out. And it's interesting that in Deuteronomy 12, that we are told that we are not to eat blood, but instead we are to pour it out on earth like water. Why? Because the blood has the life in it. Well, this is this word that Jesus will use in the Lord's Supper when he pours out his blood in the chalice, and we are to take and we are to drink. And so from that chalice, his blood is poured into us, and we receive the life of Jesus. But not only is it the language of pouring out water, pouring out blood, but also you will see quite frequently it is the pouring out of God's wrath. This is the Hebrew used for that, shafak. And you'll see this in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 7, God's wrath will be poured out upon Israel. He's going to punish them for their abominations and their idolatry. In Ezekiel chapter 9, in particular, God is going to pour out his wrath on Jerusalem. In Ezekiel chapter 36, once again, you have, I'm going to pour out my wrath upon them for the blood that they poured out on the land. The leaders, of course, have blood on their hands, and ultimately we'll see this in the suffering and death of Jesus on the cross. But because they have poured out blood, God will pour out his wrath. And so over and over and over again in Ezekiel, this is the depiction of God's wrath coming upon the people, the punishment for their sins, that it will be poured out abundantly. It will just come out in great waves against the people. Now, all of a sudden in Ezekiel chapter 39, we shift gears, and no longer is God's wrath going to be poured out, but instead his grace. And so Ezekiel 39 will end on the note, I will no longer hide my face anymore from them when I pour out my spirit upon the house of Israel. So this is the promise of God, that instead of his wrath, he's going to pour out grace, specifically pouring out the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, you're able to speak to God. You're able to invoke the name of Yahweh. Apart from the Holy Spirit, you don't have faith. You don't have access to God. So it's tied to this word of pleading for mercy. God won't hear the pleas prior to this. His wrath will come, and nothing's going to avert it. But then once the Holy Spirit is poured out, then the prayers can be poured into God's ears. And you'll see this in Zechariah chapter 12, in which Zechariah the prophet is declaring that God will pour out on David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on him whom they pierced, which is Yahweh, this will take place. So it's tied to the death of Jesus, that he is the one in Psalm 22, using the same Hebrew word, he poured out his life. Jesus says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It melts within my breast. So when Jesus is poured out upon the cross, then we have the pouring out of the Holy Spirit that now gives us the grace, the favor with God, and the pleas for mercy.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Great to be here, Todd.
Think of these names, Norman Vincent Peale, Oral Roberts. Some of those are not as familiar. Kenneth Hagin, Creflo Dollar, here's one you'll know, Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, Joyce Meyer. What do they all have in common? They are all past and present advocates of the American prosperity gospel. What makes it particularly American, and what is its history? Friday on Issues, Etc., we'll discuss the history of the American prosperity gospel with Dr. Kate Bowler of Duke Divinity School. We're also going to begin a series with Dr. Thomas Winger on the qualifications of a pastor. That's tomorrow on Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you then. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Divine Service is where Christians gather around word and sacrament. We join together to receive God's gifts in the liturgy. But do you know the meaning behind what we do? There's a book called Ceremony and Celebration that explains Lutheran liturgical worship. Find out more and read book excerpts online at emmanuelpress.us. emmanuelpress.us. You'll find answers to your liturgical questions in Ceremony and Celebration, emmanuelpress.us.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.